Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. I'm Boss Hogg, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller, the sexiest man ever.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
Hey, your voice is even sexier this week.
Oh, ooh, it is.
It sure is.
And that quite scrackly Justin Fick, man, is Justin Ficarada of Stingray fame.
How's it going?
And this is your best damn podcast ever for October 11th, 2006. Right, this week in the news, Burger King orders up Xbox games, online service offers gamer score points for cash, Burning Crusade sparks collector's edition, a report predicts that Wii production is way ahead, and Sony stock Sony stock slides 2.75% on PS3 concerns. Oh wait, what is this? What is this heat that snuck up on me?
I put that heat in there.
And Cave Story comes to the PSP. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever.
All right. So I guess I'll go ahead and start here. This article is a bit strange.
No, wait a minute.
Burger King.
Why are
making,
you getting to do this article? F*** you. Burger King. Last month, the McDonald's introduced a line of Happy Meal toys featuring Nintendo mascots like Mario, Donkey Kong. As part of the company's image reworking emphasis on fitness, each toy had a physical activity focus. Today, McDonald's rival Burger King officially announced a campaign to take a different track to the gaming tie-in. Instead of offering toys that evoke games that promote activity, the fast food chain is going to offer Xbox and Xbox 360 games of its own this holiday season. Each of them slathered with the Burger King brandings, like so much mayonnaise on a double Whopper with cheese. Thank you for being abstract, GameSpot.
What's this article from, GameSpot? Blake Buck?
This was written for Blake Buck.
Yeah, so pretty much. So Burger King is going to be rolling out some $4 Xbox and Xbox 360 games. Wait for it. With gamer points. Gamer score points.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm getting all three. Blam.
Dude, this is going to be like the third coming of Christ when this comes out for Blake Buck. Like, you guys don't even know. Oh my God!
Now
I'm gonna buy all the Xbox, all the 360 ones, and even some backups.
So we've got Pocket Bike Racer, which will feature a number of Burger King mascots. And I've actually seen the box for this, and it's got the Burger King King and a woman in a car.
It's like our show, Burger and Woman.
It's got new and podcast. Then there's Big Bumpin'. There's also a lineup from BK. So it's got the mascots pitted against one another in vehicular competition. But the game isn't racing so much as a bumper car ride. So it's like, what was that game back in the day where you were cars, you try to blow up other cars?
Diddy Kong Racing?
No. PlayStation. You know what I'm talking about. Vigilante. I loved this game, Blake Buck.
Vigilante.
You know, where you had...
Twisted Metal?
Twisted Metal, that was it.
I know everything.
And finally, Sneak King. This is my favorite. This is a stealth action game.
Oh my god. I didn't read this article. And like, this is just destroying me. Sneak King.
That's right. Sneak King. So it's I guess you're the king, and you tiptoe around behind enemies and silently snap their necks while.
Oh man. So this is really awesome. I think it's way cool that Burger King is getting into this. I think this promotion is going to go really well. What do you guys think?
What I like about this is they're not taking themselves too seriously. I mean, they've got a ridiculous mascot as it is. Like, I want to see the movie poster, right? The gouache movie poster that's got the king on a mountain, right, holding up a burger.
Burgers all around him.
And a woman, you know, clinging to his knee and the bodies of his slain enemies on the ground.
Now, okay, let me ask you guys. Do you like the Burger King king? It's about half and half, people who love him or hate him.
I think it doesn't really matter. It's still a great advertisement, because if you hate him, you're still going to know it's Burger King.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it.
And as a game character? Come on.
Oh, yeah. he was kind of like kind of love to hate up until I saw a game where you actually sneak up on people and you offer them food. Now he's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's what stealth sneak king is. You sneak up behind people and you offer them Burger King.
Yeah, it's kind of like Pokemoto, only instead of your schlong, it's burgers. But what I'm excited about is that each of these games is 200 gamer points, just like an ex-blah title. Blam.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
For four
awesome.
Bucks a piece. I'm getting all of them.
I wonder if you'll be able to get them off Xbox Live Arcade, or do you have to go to Burger King?
You know what I love about this this article? Here's a sentence from it. The genuine off-putting monarch of meat. The monarch of meat.
Wait a minute. That is copyright Blake Buck 2003. All right.
Well, I think GameSpot got to it first. The Monarch of Meat appeared in Electronic Arts Fight Night Round 3 as an unlockable manager character to accompany your boxer to the ring.
Oh, man. Dude, the king manages your boxer. How awesome is that?
And you know what else is cool about Fight Night Round 3? 1,000 easy points. Blam.
Yeah, we're actually... my professor in college was the lead designer on Fight Night 3. And we will probably have her on the show pretty soon. So, looking forward to that.
Wait. A designer, a woman with breasts?
Yeah,
and
they exist.
No penis?
No way.
No penis.
Lies.
And it's not a woman that, or it's not a woman that used to be a man either, because there are a lot of those. No, this is...
Our old listeners may recall that. Sorry. All right, so so when is this promotion happening? Does it give a date on this article? I don't think
they'll be available from November 19th through December 4th.
Oh, that's my birthday. That is November 19th is Blake Bug's birthday. So you guys better drive down here and take me to the Burger King.
The game's rated E for everyone
November
by the ESRB.
19th, I don't know if I should wait in line for the Wii or wait in line for these three games.
That's right. They're kind of
there. There is no question which one you're going to be waiting in line for. Monarch of meat.
Speaking of waiting in line, have you guys been on any of the blogs recently talking about how EB like is not giving out all the consoles because their employees are buying them? Like the employees are racking up on PS3s and nobody's getting them.
I'd imagine that's a problem. I've heard of that before where employees will, hold some in the back and then...
I don't understand. Like, each store gets 10. Like,
yeah, our store here in Oxford, Mississippi, which is Podunk Town, USA, I think they got... I went in there today, and they said they probably got, like, 4 pre-orders. Like, there were people camped out waiting to get the pre-orders last night because they only had 4 of them.
I don't get it. Like, and what game are you going to get... Nothing.
Who cares? You got one.
Who cares? You can do your taxes on it, right?
Only if you buy all the cells.
Well, screw that. I'm going to head over to New York and have Reggie Phil's I May bless me with a Wii personally. And then sprinkle holy water on my face.
If there's one man I look up to more than anyone else in the gaming industry, it's Mr. Reggie Phil's of me.
All right, moving on. Justin Fick, take this gamer points thing. Go.
I have taken this article because this is my version of hamburgers. There's a service, levelmy360.com, which is going to leave the grunt work of getting Xbox 360 achievements to power leveling veterans. That's right, they're offering gamer score points for cash. The packages go up to 3,000 points for $300.
You know what power level veterans means? It means like Korean indentured slave. That means. Oh wait, they don't have Xboxes in Korea.
Chinese sweatshop, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, because it has it in quotes. It's not like they put it in there. It's quote power leveling veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But like we talked about how gamer scores is brilliant metagame Xbox 360, but I guess it was only a matter of time before they got some. Got some Korean kids and started whipping them and feeding them bread and water and made a killing off of some gamer score points. And let me tell you right now, dude, I can get you 3,000 points in a day.
Now here's what I understand, Justin Fick. We were talking about gamer score points the other day, and it's just a dick measuring contest. Like,
pretty much.
They don't mean anything. You don't get anything for having a lot of gamer points, right? Am I right?
Pretty much.
So why would you pay $300 for 3,000 of these things?
If he had a small penis.
Okay, well.
It's the same reason I get those emails that keep telling me my penis is small.
Well, for those of us who aren't like Blake Buck, why would we pay $3,000 or $300 to get 3,000 gamer points?
I can gain 2 optical inches.
Well, it's 3,000 points, but the thing is though, it's not worth $300 because
How long would it take you to get 3,000 points?
Let me tell you, because I am on a personal quest to ace this dick measuring contest.
I've been talking about
it a little bit, but I am officially a gamer score whore, and I'll be putting up some updates on the front page, and I'm actually on a personal quest to get as many gamer score points as possible with minimal effort.
And I love it. Like Justin Fick will go to Burger King and buy 3 value meals to get these 3 games. And I don't think Justin Fick goes to Burger King that much, but he will for gamer score points.
Oh yeah.
If only we were together, Justin Fick, you could just ride with me. I go there 4 times a day.
See, here's what I don't get. Why the hell did we not think of this first? Like,
yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Podcast like, points. Why don't we have podcast points and are making bukus of money?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to state this now. Every good piece of feedback you send us, you're going to get 1 point. And then we'll add that point somehow. We're going to get a web guy to do it, not because none of us know how. We're going to add that to your forum account.
Actually, we're thinking about upgrading to Envision Board, in which case it will be much easier to make gamer score points. And maybe you have to have a certain number of points before you could come on Battle. Like, we don't just let anybody on Battle.
Oh,
we check your points
first.
I got it.
In Battle, you wager your points against your
opponent. Oh, man. Oh. This is deep.
Wait, we don't know what Battle is. We don't know where that is.
So, did you ever hear back from that guy about the new forums?
No. You know, I don't even know if my email got to that. Look, guy. All right, here's the deal.
Hook us up, dude.
Now, for those of you who don't remember, there's a guy that sent us a real shady email. Real nice guy, listened to the show, but trying to sell us something.
Sounded like a sales pitch.
Sounded a little like sales. I mean, he could have had the best intentions. We don't know. But
he told us he was going to give us free forum software.
Free forum. Like, well, yes, Envision please. Board is like $180 software, and he apparently has a seat of it for free. So we got the suspect eye on this guy, but we're probably going to switch over to Envision Board pretty soon, and we'll probably purchase it. And when that time comes around, he's more than welcome to help us set it up.
Either way, our forums are starting to show their seams with all these porns that's getting on there now. And plus, how are we going to get the I don't know, what is it, best damn score ever? Otherwise,
no, they're podcast points.
Best damn points ever, blam.
Best damn podcast best damn points. Podcast points. Yeah,
I like that better. All right, enough of this heat. What do we got? Oh, let me take this article, because I just actually read this, so I know stuff about it. So, The Burning Crusade sparks a collector's edition. Blizzard outlines the deluxe version of World of Warcraft expansion, which includes trading cards, soundtrack, art book, and more. Price still unknown. So, if you're one of the 7 million World of Warcraft subscribers, chances are you're probably already planning to buy the first expansion pack, blah, 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 blah. So, the expansion pack is coming out on November, I believe, 7th? Wait, November 9th? I don't know, sometime in November for $39.99. And they just announced the collector's edition, which is going to have let me find it. It's going to contain both a CD and DVD edition of the game, or the expansion, rather. An exclusive in-game pet called a Nether Whelp. That sounds really lame. Also included will be a soundtrack and a mouse pad of the map with the expansion's new continent, Outland. And it will also feature behind-the-scenes documentary and a hardcover coffee table book featuring exclusive concept art from the expansion.
That concept art book sounds appealing. Well,
I really want the DVD that's got, like, interviews with the guys. Like, I'd love to see, like, these big, you know, these big Warcraft execs. Well, you see, we have to manage 7 million people at once, and, you know, we're busy.
Okay, did you guys see, did you guys see the,
this $100 bill.
Did you guys see the South Park episode?
Oh, yeah.
It was on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Well, it was funny because it didn't exaggerate anything.
Yeah, like, that's how
it
really is.
Played it straight.
Yeah,
that's how you do comedy. You gotta play it straight. So the original World of Warcraft Collector's Edition was $80. But you got to keep in mind that that game was originally, the base game was $50. So maybe we'll see like a $60, $70 price point maybe. Either way, the original collector's edition can still be found on eBay for the original game, selling for as much as $300.
So, wait, don't you have that, Blake Buck?
Dude, I don't have
for
that.
$300, you can get 3,000 gamer score points on levelmy360.com.
That's true.
Man, we're thinking how we can trade it out. All right, I'm going to get one of these, and I'm going to sell it. So for those of you Burning Crusade fans, maybe look into it.
All right. I guess this is me here. You guys got to bear with me here. I'm at a low blood sugar mode because Blake Bug wouldn't let me eat. Having to do this podcast.
Dude, I've not eaten
on this podcast.
I've not eaten anything. I've been eating gum all day. That's all right, what I eat. So that's my weight loss program.
Just for the record, I eat about 10 times more than Blake Bug does. I think we've actually
and you've seen
covered
photos.
This subject.
You've seen Blake Buck is a little bit now, just a hair bigger than William Miller. But William Miller eats like a tank.
like I would when Blake Bug and I were living together, I was doing judo every day, so I'd go and fight for like 2.5 hours, and I'd come home, and I had to eat meat, or I'd die. So Blake Buck would cower in the corner as I had fried up all this meat and all these carbohydrates and stuff, and I would eat them all, and he would cry.
Like, I will eat like maybe 3 hot dogs, and I'll think I'm a man. William Miller will just eat a whole pack of hot dogs at once, all 8 of them.
For like nothing.
Oh, the callback. Excellent, sir.
Oh, callback. Blam. But yeah, in New York, like, see, I eat pretty good. Like, when I was in Vegas, I would go to, you know, Whole Foods and buy all this organic, you know, fresh produce and stuff and cook a nice stir fry, eat it. As soon as I went to New York to work on Stingray, breakfast was a bag of Smart Food popcorn, Charleston Chew, and a Rockstar. Every day.
Good That's God, it. Man. I hate Rockstar. I saw this Rockstar machine. I'm like, ooh, Rockstar. This is going to be fun. I like this stuff. I put that in, and it was like I was pouring battery acid in my mouth. Because, see, I stupidly got the double strength Rockstar because I was like, well, I mean, I might as well go all the way, right? So I get the double rape you in the face version. Oh, my God. And then I was like, this thing cost me $2. I got to drink the whole damn thing now.
Oh my God.
After like 25 cat piss rock stars, you do get hooked, and they make you better at Guitar Hero.
They do make you better. Oh.
This is scientifically proven.
Oh, no, shut up, William Miller.
Oh, so Blake Buck comes to me today, and he says, Oh my, Guitar Hero is over. I have beaten Guitar Hero. Because that's the way he sounds when he talks to me. And I said, Blake Buck, I beat Guitar Hero like a year ago.
Of course. Like, now here's the thing. Well, oh, I mean,
no, you can't say anything.
I can't say anything. No. Damn it. Well, I've been. Whoa, damn it! I mean, I'm terrible at this. This is all just going to be buzzered out. But
dude, you can't say that on this show.
Damn it!
You can't do that.
How can I hint it?
No, you have to edit everything out you just said, except me talking about how much you suck at Guitar Hero.
Okay, fine. I'll come back with this then. This is going to be as is, just with brr over it. I remember when William Miller came over to my house thinking, oh, for months he was talking, oh, I'm going to palm Blake Buck's face into the ground. It's going to be the most rape, ribbity, riggity, rap, rape in the face ever. And I said, William Miller, you know you're going to get owned. We went back and forth for about a month. He comes over, I destroyed William Miller in one song. Yeah.
Okay, so take that, William Miller. Here's what really happened, all right? So I get in, and the first thing that happens is Blake Buck hits me in the hand. Now,
take that. You'll never be a guitar master now.
Now how am I supposed to play with that? So then he sets me up on, you know, he sets me up on the game, and we play this like second tier weak song that I hadn't played in like forever, and Blake Buck beats me in it, and he thinks he's hot.
Yeah, it was fair ground, like, because you and me had never played either that song very much.
Right,
no,
first
he
could
on the same ground. He couldn't get it accomplished.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, next time we were in the same place, Blake Buck, I'm gonna own you.
Dude, there's gonna be like a fissure in the earth.
I'll just let you both know that if all three of us happen to be in the same spot,
no, it's gonna be over.
I will destroy both of you at the same time, even though it's a two-player game.
We're gonna have to find some way to hack it and make it three-player.
Okay, so in another Guitar Hero-related news, William Miller's title as best guitar player in the world has been challenged again.
Oh, whoa!
I don't know if I told y'all about this, but I'm in a intro to interactive design class. And my teacher, who's going to be on the show, she was talking a lot of smack about Guitar Hero. You know, I'm kind of modest. I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, I'm all right at it. I worked on Guitar Hero 2 and all that. And there's another kid in the class who's talking a lot of smack, too. So we set up a tournament. And and this is like a whole half a class. And I beat... All right. So the other day, my teacher comes to me. She's like, William, there's this kid in my other class who's been talking a lot of smack. And I think you need to do something about it. So the date has been set. This Wednesday, I'm coming into that class and cleaning up.
This Wednesday, you mean tomorrow?
Is that tomorrow? No, it's not tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow's damn it, Wednesday. It is tomorrow. I gotta practice. Yeah, dude.
Well, you better get a camera, dude. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, all right.
This better be videotaped.
All right,
so who's
on.
Got the seat?
Anyway, so we got a UBS analyst, Alex Quana, claims that Nintendo's 2006 production goal of 6 million next-gen consoles will be handily beaten.
Wow.
Handily beaten. 2 million units already reported made.
I believe
they're,
it.
What's the PS3 up to, like?
They're cooking with gas over
250?
There.
250? Not yes, 250,000, 250.
They've got like four. They're like, these are done. They're going out.
So it says, when Xbox went on sale last November, it was instantly bested with supply problems. So many consumers pre-ordered
the
console.
That's the word beset.
Oh, beset.
Beset with,
I'm telling
come
you,
on,
man.
Come on, William Miller.
I'm telling
come
you.
Come on,
let
William
me
Miller.
Eat and I'll be on the bounce. PlayStation.
Blood sugar helps us read goodly.
PlayStation doesn't have enough units. Yeah.
Oh God! Okay, I gotta come in here and save this. So essentially, analysts are saying the Wii has got they already got millions waiting to go out, and they're not gonna have any problems with production at all, like that's plagued the PS3 and Xbox 360. And I for one believe it because look at the DS Lite launch; they were on the ball, they had them everywhere. There weren't any shortages anywhere. I think Nintendo's gonna do it with flying colors. What do you guys think?
I think so, too.
I agree.
Dude, they're doing everything right, and it'd be a shame if they slipped up in the supply and demand department, because nobody seems to understand that part in this business.
Why is it like, why is it, with all the billions of dollars Microsoft and Sony have, you can't discover, maybe we should have more than 20 of these things.
Yeah, and maybe we should make it cost less than our competitor.
Yeah.
Like, here's what I don't get.
The 2 million units that Nintendo has already made...
Yeah.
Is five times the amount that the PS3 has planned for launch.
Yeah, like what I don't understand is computers have managed to go up in performance and down in price. Why can't the consoles do that too?
Well, think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. One thing about game consoles is that they're not really going up in price, really. If you think about it, like if you look back to the 70s, how much did an Atari 2600 cost? I'm not sure the exact figure, but I believe it was around $300. Look at the NES, it was $200. The Genesis, I think, was $250. The PlayStation, when it came out, was, I believe, $300. So game consoles, even going all the way back to the 70s, have been around $300.
Yeah, I know, but Sony has doubled that.
Look at gas compared to the 70s to now. I mean, it's ridiculous compared to game consoles. Then and now. I mean,
all right. Well, before Blake Bug wades in too deep in global economics, let's talk about some more Sony business here. So Sony stock slid 2.75%. Analysts downgraded electronic giant's stock following reports of the PS3's malfunctions at the Tokyo Game Show and disappointing PSP sales. Like, what I love about this is that the PSP or the PS3 crashed at TGS, right? Because it overheats. and their stock goes down almost 3%.
Dude, I love that. I love that. Like, and like they say here later, Sony acts like that didn't happen. They were like, oh, somebody just said that. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, I could just write on my website, I saw it overheat, and blam, you lose millions.
No, there's a picture. Like,
oh, there's a picture with smoke coming out of the side. William Miller.
Oh, man.
No. Listen. There's a picture that broke on Kotaku when this happened, and it's a picture of, like, one of the Sony booth manager dudes bending over and, like, putting one of those huge white fans inside the case that housed the PS3 to cool it down. That's not good.
Dude, you don't want the guy with perfect, the butt crack pushed over the PS3.
Dude, yeah. If that was Dead Rising, that'd be a lot of prestige camera points. Perfect shot. Wow.
So anyway, I'm done with
this
news.
That was reaching.
I'm done.
But I love this quote here, like talking about the overheating. I said they are caused by unusually high temperatures created by having many of the next-gen consoles operating in close proximity to each other. It's not a problem with the PlayStation 3 unit itself. For a
so wait,
player
if
at
I
home,
have my,
too hot.
If I have this thing operating next to like some other electronic gadgets, it's gonna overheat.
You should put it in your fridge.
Put it
by the PlayStation fridge.
Yeah.
No, what's gonna happen is you're gonna buy three PlayStation 3s, put them next to each other, and they're all gonna explode and fire into space like meteors. Blam.
I love it. What an obscure reference. Delightful,
that's pretty good.
Sir.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. All right, on to the most important news article by far, and
yes,
the only thing
the Wii,
that I contributed to this week's show, is a Cave Story is coming to the PSP. I read this on Kotaku, that Variant Interactive, publisher of the podcast favorite game, Jets and Guns, is bringing Cave Story to the PSP in 2007.
Whoa.
According to Wikipedia, it's an unauthorized port, so the game's creator, Pixel, isn't getting any money. But the game's free anyway, so...
That's your fault, Pixel. You could have done something. You could have marketed yourself. You could have made money. We've been over this.
Yeah, we have been over this.
You could have made money. You didn't want to.
Pixel could have made a bajillion dollars with that game, and instead he didn't.
Oh, well.
Oh,
sucks,
well.
Sucks to
but
be
the
old.
The thing is, if it's a free download on my computer... I don't know. Why would I play it on my PSP, though?
Well, I'm assuming that they're going to, like, change the formatting so it's widescreen, maybe add some art and stuff.
Well, it seems like it's by Variant Interactive. Maybe they'll put this with a pack of other games. Surely they're not going to just sell this one game by itself.
No, it's
on the
one
PSP.
Game. They have the box art on their website.
Wow.
It's actually, just one game.
I got it. They're actually going to redo... oh, no way. They're actually going to give it, like, a facelift. They're gonna make it better graphics and... Which
why?
I would normally object to that, but it's Variant Interactive, Jets and Guns, dude, and the art in that game was awesome.
Well, Variant Interactive didn't develop
that
game.
Well, the art in Cave Story was perfect to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, that did not need to be changed.
Yeah, but it doesn't appeal to a mainstream audience. Mainstream audience looks at that and they're like, why is this 10-year-old game
on the PSP? Well,
that's
why I like it. Like, this is one of those things like those indie rocker, like indie like music fans that love... Like they love loving bands that you've never heard of and you wouldn't
like. Yeah, fight
like
the fold
because that makes them cooler.
You know?
That's what this game is to me. It's like normal people would not like or play this game, and that's why I love it because it makes me cooler for playing it. That
well,
you've
is
never
it
heard
is it not
player.
Is it not noble to try and bring a good game to the masses by making it more accessible?
And they could do justice to the art. I mean, the game probably wouldn't look that great on a PSP, let's be honest. I mean, I think if they did it right, it could be all right. You know, it would be good.
I trust them.
So, but I don't know.
You would need to prove it to me that you can bring and amplify the heat in a respectable fashion.
Yeah, I don't think a four-hour game, because you can beat that game in 4 hours. I don't think a four-hour game
Dude,
necessarily appeals to
hours.
A mainstream audience either. So, we'll see. But it's still we'll one see. Of the... It's William Miller's number one platforming game of all time.
Just to think you missed that show. What's your number one platform of all time? Go.
That, as is mine. William Miller pretty much hit my three. That would be, Super Metroid, Symphony of Night, and Cave Story.
And now for a semi-new section of the show, we're going to have a segment now called Releases, where we give you guys this week's game releases that you need to be watching out for. Are you ready?
Go.
All right, so now we're going to do the releases. All right, this week in Game Boy Advance, Family Feud, Avatar, The Last Airbender, Barbie 12 Dancing Princesses, Hammy Goes in Cuts. Oh, God, these are awful. Hot Wheels Compilation and Car Bundle, Legend of Spyro, A New Beginning, Naughty A Day in Toyland, and Disney's American Dragon, Jake Long, Rise of the American Hunts Clan. That's a long title.
That's a pretty long one. In Nintendo DS land, we've got Clubhouse Games, Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties, Avatar, The Last Airbender, Crash Boom Bang, Monster Bomber, Scooby-Doo, Who's Watching You, and Disney's American Dragon, Jack Long, Attack of the Dark Dragon.
Dude, Nintendo, are you really wondering why your audience is all 10-year-old kids? Look at the games coming out. Jesus. Anyway, I'll do these next two because GameCube is sparse. GameCube, both on October 10th, Avatar, The Last Airbender, Legend of Spyro, A New Beginning. PC, Dirt, Origin of the Species on the 9th. Also on the 9th, Warhammer 40K, Dawn of War, Dark
Crusade.
I'll be
there. I'll be getting that one.
Oh, man. October 10th is Barbie 12 Dancing Princesses. I think that's a first-person shooter. Devil May Cry 3, Dante's Awakening Special Edition on the PC.
Ooh.
Tiger Woods PGA Golf Tour 07. And on the 12th is The Guild 2. What a generic role-playing game name, The Guild 2. You know it's a role-playing game, by the way.
The Guild 1 was great, dude. All right, so on PlayStation 2, we've got Family Feud, Mortal Kombat Armageddon. Blickbug just picked that up. Avatar The Last Airbender. We're going to have to say Avatar for every single section. I don't want to. No more. Don't say that anymore. All right. God Hand, Legend of Spyro, A New Beginning, Tales of the Abyss with bonus, and Tiger Woods PGA Tour 07.
Dude, what is the bonus in Tales of the Abyss with bonus?
I don't know. It's bonus. Know. On Sony PSP, it's not looking too good for them. Family Feud, again, Mortal Kombat Armageddon. Can't say Last Airbender and Legend of Spyro New Beginning. Xbox is looking equally bleak. Mortal Kombat Armageddon, Avatar The Last Airbender, and Legend of Spyro A New Beginning. I think, Blake Buck, we need to consolidate some of these titles. That was a big, long list that just repeated itself.
We're figuring
itself
this section out. We're figuring it out.
We're figuring it out. All right.
And nothing on the 360, guys. Zero. Nothing. Not even Airbender.
Not even Airbender.
Yeah, not even Avatar The Last. What the hell is that anyway?
It's a show.
An anime.
It's not. Well, it's kind of.
Well, it's an American anime. Let's say put it that way.
Yeah.
And now, so another new section we've got this week, guys. We simply call it for now The Judgment.
All right, so basically the gist of Judgment is that each week one of us is going to review one or more games. So I'm starting it off, and two games that I just picked up for the Nintendo DS, Dragon Quest Rocket Slime and Cooking Mama. Yes, I actually did pick up Cooking Mama.
Guns in it, Justin Fick. Cooking Mama?
No, it doesn't, but it has green onions.
Ah, well, all right, okay.
All right, so Dragon Quest Rocket Slime, basically the overview, it's a DS game, and you play a slime from the Dragon Quest series, and based the gist of it, it's like a top-down adventure game, and all the inhabitants of your slime town have been kidnapped by the Plob, and you just have to rescue them, and you get a big tank. That's right, you get a big tank.
Is it a tank that shoots smaller tanks? That'd be even better.
That it does not, but you can throw enemies in your cannons and fire them back at their own tank.
No, that's pretty. That's almost there.
Now, I got a question. You said this game stars the slime from Dragon Quest. William Miller, actually. Well, this is more of a comment. William Miller has some sort of strange obsession with the slime from Dragon Quest.
I do. Ever since
you have a slime controller.
No, I do not have a slime controller. Although I almost bought one. Ever since I went to Japan, I started collecting these slimes, and I have several of them.
He's got a big stuffed animal slime.
I do have a big stuffed animal slime. It's pretty intense.
It's pretty manly.
So the gameplay, it's very simple mechanics. There's only a few moves. You can elasto-blast yourself, which is basically stretching yourself out and flinging yourself like a rubber band. You can pick stuff up, you can throw it, and you can sort of stretch yourself out and float over gaps. But just with that small set of moves, you can they apply equally well to adventure mode and when you're battling in tanks. They're very fluid, they're not frustrating. And the tank battles are actually very cool. It's basically the top screen is a kind of like artillery view of the two tanks coming together, and you get your cannons, and you can see all the stuff flying through the air. On the bottom screen, you're actually your slime in the tank, like in the cockpit, and you're gonna find ammo, loading the cannons. Enemies can board and run around your tank. You can throw them in the cannons. So very cool. Graphics are nothing spectacular. Good solid DS graphics. There's a lot of recognizable monsters from the Dragon Quest series that you can actually collect and add to your crew and fire them out of your cannons. and there's like 100 slimes each. That you save, each with their own unique look, that can join your crew and you can shoot them out of your cannons. It's pretty much a common theme. Just anything you get in the game can be made into ammunition.
All right. So what do you give that one, Justin Fick?
Well,
yeah, how would you rate these? What do we want to do it like out of 5 or out of 10 or up, thumbs up, thumbs down? How do we want to do
this? It's the judgment.
The judgment. The judgment is D. Thumbs up.
Oh, good. D. All right, Cooking Mama,
what's
go.
What's the bad? If it's not D, what is it?
Jank.
Jank. All right.
All right, and then next up is Cooking Mama. And this is actually a surprisingly enjoyable game. It's a very Japanese cooking simulator. And basically the way you play is you pick a recipe, and it gives you like a series of WarioWare-esque tasks to perform. So like chop onion, pour water, this, that, measure this, cut. And
cut.
And it results in this savory Japanese dish. So, and then each one of these steps is graded by Mama, who, despite being called Mama, looks like this 10-year-old big-eyed anime girl. And at the end, you get, like, a medal, and then depending on how good you do, you can unlock other recipes and stuff. And the gameplay, and basically, what I wrote down here, for gameplay, Japanese, graphics, Japanese, sound and music, Japanese. And you should know exactly what that means. Like, you can't really rate it on a scale from 1 to 10, it's just Japanese.
Pretty now, nice. Does it have a really heavy-handed intro or ending where you turn into a baby and you fly away and you don't get the girl that you've been fighting the colossi for the whole game? Does it have that?
There's actually really no plot to speak of whatsoever. It just gives you like this list of recipes. You pick one and you cut and measure and cook and that's
my question for you. Is Mama hot?
If you're into like 10-year-old big-eyed anime chicks, then yeah. So I'm guessing that's most of our audience. but it's cool because just like you can add different spices to recipes and actually branch off and unlock different recipes that way. And
now, what is the cancer rule?
Yes, I have written down here. Mention the cancer rule. Now this is this isn't something in Cooking Mama, but I was trying to work this in somehow at Freeverse. Me and Mr. Mike Watson have determined that, this is kind of related to cooking, but we noticed how, like, meat always tastes better than salad. Now, the rule we came up with is the cancer rule. Now, basically, the gist of this is the more suffering and pain that's involved with making a dish, the better it tastes. So, plants aren't really killed. So it's a dish. Cows, chicken, kill them, good dish. Now, if you have like steak and chicken fries, two animals had to die to make that dish. So it's double the taste. So we determined. Now we're gonna make this and open up a restaurant. We determined that if you can like eviscerate the heart out of an orphan baby seal with cancer, that would be one tasty burger.
I like that. That's like you only hear one of these things every once in a while. Maybe like once or twice in your whole life will you hear something like this. That's one of those diamond jewels of like worldly knowledge that you just never thought of before. And that changed my life. I'll never eat salad again. Never. That changed my life.
And now I have a reason not to.
So what's the ruling on Cooking Mama, Justin Fick?
the ruling on Cookie Mama is Japanese. You can't give it thumbs up, can't give it thumbs down. It's just Japanese.
Mm. Okay. Right. Does it? It would. It would. Right, in my book, it would get thumbs up if it had the chairman in it, from Iron Chef.
What is it? What is his catchphrase? He goes. What does he say before he reveals the dish?
Dude, I don't know, but they never dubbed him. They always dubbed all the other characters, but he was subtitled.
The secret ingredient. That's it. And today's secret ingredient: eggs. All right. So I just wanted to say, or did you have anything else to add, Justin Fick, about Cooking Mama?
Negative, only that cancer is the best spice.
All right. So next week, guys, I just got Mortal Kombat Armageddon on the PS2 in the Collector K edition. So maybe next week I'll be giving you guys a review on that. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So we're thinking we're going to do more reviews on the show. All right, so now it's time for my favorite section, guys. At least my favorite section this week. Blake Buck's Jank of the Week. So this week for you guys, I've got a steal. Again, this one comes from EB Games/GameStop. Crimson Skies, The High Road to Revenge on Xbox. And I believe it's even Xbox 360 compatible. Great online game for Xbox Live. I've been playing it. I've been having a lot of fun. Good game. $3.99. Blam.
Oh, man.
A good deal you've caught there. So you can check it out at EB Games website. Or I'm sure if you have EB Games or GameStop in your hometown, go check it out.
That's the same price as Sneak King.
All right, so now what's the discussion this week, guys? What's our topic of debate?
The topic this week, games and movies.
So, the discussion today is, can movies be translated into games? Can games be translated into movies? Which ones work best and which ones fail miserably?
Hmm.
So, right,
so
what are
some famous game to movie conversions or movie to game or whatever? I'm sick of trying to figure this out.
Well, let's just start by I'll give off like my top three movie based games and we can move on and talk about, you know, which ones worked, why which ones don't. And
all right,
let's mix it up. Top three and bottom one.
All right, Heat D, go. All
right, so my top three movie-based games right now, in no particular order. I do like Lego Star Wars 2 for pretty much everything, but I have the 360 version.
Are you getting points?
That I am, but it was Steve's game that he brought over for like 2 days and janked as many points as I could, and that's gonna be a rent, and I'll get the rest of them in my never-ending quest for gamer score whoring points. And let's see, another one that I had a lot of fun with, but it didn't really get a whole lot of attention was you guys remember the Terminator 2 arcade game?
Oh man, I remember that heat. I remember the Super NES version with the super scope you used, and that was cool like it had a crosshair like a cursor. It was the only super scope I remember that had like a crosshair on screen that you could like move around. It was hot. All right, here's a battle: Super Scope versus Zapper. Who wins?
Ooh, I don't know. See, the super scope is good because it had volume. Like when you held that super scope, you were holding big gun. Right.
But the Zapper could get you shot by California police.
That's true.
I'm thinking, if the Zapper and Super Scope shot real bullets, who would win?
Dude, the Super Scope, no question.
Well, here's the thing. Like, of course, it depends on terrain, but the Super Scope, I would think, would get like one or two good shots, and they would have to get like a headshot in that, because if not, the Zapper just come out and just start blazing, because
it's got splash damage. Hello.
It's no splash damage.
All right, you guys are dumb. Moving on.
No, okay, you know what? No. I've got it. Zapper wins hands down, because Zapper games you can cheat by firing into a light bulb, which is a hit every time.
Oh,
so
really?
All you have to do is just get behind cover,
man,
fire a light bulb,
all these
super
codes?
Scope, dead.
I swear to God, Justin Fick knows all the codes.
I'm God. That's why. Dude, I read Nintendo Power. I have all the codes.
You gotta play the music.
No, I can't do it. It's too much for the listeners. 2 weeks in a row and their heads will explode. I think the planet will explode. So, let's see. Let's trade off now. We can come back to you just to perhaps okay. my favorite game-to-movie conversion would be the Super Mario Brothers movie. Do you guys remember the Super Mario Brothers movie?
All right, so here's how it went down. All right, we started watching... We started watching the Super Mario Brothers movie while we were waiting for some other movie. I think that other movie was Highlander. We were waiting for Highlander to get here, and we were watching Super Mario Brothers. We must have watched, I don't know, 15 minutes of it or so, and then turned it off because it was dumb. Worst movie ever.
It's like the most quintessential dumb 90s sci-fi movie. Oh my God! It is
Dude,
so
Dennis
bad.
Dennis Hopper
that
it's is King Koopa. How could you not love that?
I know.
He is.
And
true.
I remember it had like what was his name? Yoshi, but he was like a dinosaur. Like not like you say. Oh well, Yoshi is a dinosaur. No, he was like Jurassic Park raptor dinosaur.
Well, that was the story. That was the story. One. I think the story was a meteor hit the Earth, right? And it hit so hard that two parallel dimensions split off. Right, and one has us in it, and the other one has the dinosaurs in it. Right, and when the dinosaurs come from their dimension to ours, they turn into people, which is why like
oh, no.
Koopa doesn't look like Koopa; he looks like a general or whatever. I think
that's
that was the story.
Like Dennis Hopper.
I don't remember.
Oh my God! I just remember at the end of the film, what beat Koopa, Dennis Hopper? The Super Scope. Blam! They had literal Super Scopes. Not like, oh, it was like a cool sci-fi gun. They went out, like the prop guy went out to the store and bought a Super Scope and brought it onto the set. Awesome. Awesome.
Now, see, if they had zappers, they could just fire it into light bulbs and he'd be dead. There wouldn't even be a movie.
Callback.
Blam.
Oh, my goodness. So that's my favorite. William Miller, what's your favorite game to movie conversion or vice versa?
favorite game to movie conversion. Well, I don't play games, so it'll have to be a movie from a game.
U-Ball.
We'll get to U-Ball later. I got a story about him. Well, I went to see Silent Hill. All right. Now, let's just take a minute. When I walked out of Silent Hill, I didn't care about any of the characters I saw or what happened to them or the plot, but it was a damn pretty movie. It was a really pretty movie. I mean, it was scary and like gruesome looking, but like really well shot.
And it matched the art styles of the game
yeah,
pretty well.
Well
That's
shot and like
impressive.
Well directed. If the guy had a script to work with that was halfway decent, it would have been good. But, you know, see, I think the problem with making movies out of games is that moviegoers expect one thing and gamers expect another thing. So when
games generally don't have good stories.
Well, it's not that.
Particularly
it's just
the popular games.
It's just that the story of a game doesn't neatly fit into the three-act structure of a movie. So when the filmmakers have to decide, all right, how are we going to write a script out of this game? They have to either decide to keep it faithful to the original or to completely change it to fit it in this structure. And if they go one way, the gamers are going to hate it. And if they go the other way, the moviegoers are going to hate it. And if they go in between, the movie's going to suck, which is what happens to most of them. So that's my take on that whole thing.
Hmm. An excellent point, William Miller. Your
well, I mean,
2 years
take,
in film
take,
school
take as,
is showing
you know,
color.
Case in point, the Final Fantasy movies, like Spirits Within, they tried to make Final Fantasy like accessible to non-virgin nerds. And the movie just failed. Like they tried to make it like accessible and mass market, but it still had this ridiculous, stupid story. You know, contrast to Advent Children, which is pure fan service to Final Fantasy VII players. There's no reason in hell anyone that did not play through Final Fantasy VII 10 times would ever watch it. But
or
if you have,
it.
it's the coolest movie ever. Just because it's constant.
I did not like Advent Children because it was so quintessential anime. Like it took all these anime elements from all these animes that I hate and just melded them into one piece of train wreck of a movie. I mean, sure, it was flashy and stuff, but come on. They're, you know, flying through the air and on motorcycles zapping each other. Come on. Come on.
The only things I didn't like about it, like, they're about 20 minutes in the middle of the movie where you just ignore all dialogue. Where, you know, like, Cloud gets into his, you know, teenaged angst Linkin Park lyrics dialogue, and you just want to, like, stick your thumbs in his eye sockets and rip his head in half down the middle. And then, of course, you know, Vincent has to make his appearance and talk about all his Trent Reznor stuff.
And play his game.
You just ignore all that. And, what the hell is... Oh, like, no one dies. No one freaking dies. Oh, by the way, that's a spoiler. So if you don't want the movie spoiled for you, don't listen to what I just said 5 seconds ago. But, like, everyone in this movie, like half the movie, like, half the people in this movie get killed and no one dies.
I remember, I remember, 2 years ago or 1 year ago or whatever, I don't remember, I walked into my room and Advent Children was on the TV. Like, that movie got janked so early.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I saw that movie... And like a year ago, or like a year and a half ago, whenever it was just released in Japan, it was playing in my room for some reason. And I was like, wow, you know, well, that movie's not going to come out for another year in America. And it sucks, so I'm not going to buy it.
They kept delaying the American version, so everyone just downloaded it.
So that they could figure out what the hell people were talking about in that movie? I don't think they... I think Final Fantasy
Advent Children really appeals to the Japanese audience and the hardcore, RPG audience. And I think anybody else is just going to get lost in the shuffle there.
All right, you ball, go.
You ball, you're the king among men.
All right, so I saw that video of you ball beating the crap out of Lotax. Lotax is like...
I didn't know it's Uva Ball.
Uva Ball. Excuse me. Well, anyway, Lotax, for those of you guys who don't know, is the head honcho over there at somethingawful.com, and they're notorious for ripping on Ball and all of his movies. And U-Ball challenges Lotax to a boxing match and gets just destroyed. Or Lotax gets destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. Like, it doesn't even last 3 minutes.
Ball, keep in mind, was a... I believe he was a boxer before he started making movies. So, like, he got, I think it was, like, 4 big critics of his movies in, like, into the ring, and they all thought it was just this publicity stunt. And they just all go in and just get the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, he beats the shit out of him, yeah. That's awesome.
Lovely, sir.
That's awesome. When Blake Buck, when our movie that we're going to make ends up being... We're just going to take all the people that ever thought it was bad and beat the hell out of them in a boxing ring.
That's true. Hats off, you ball. Nice move. Yeah. I like that.
Well, here's the coolest part, though, is that all these fights were filmed, and they're all going to be part of the Postal movie coming out.
Wait, the Postal movie?
Yeah, he's making a Postal movie.
So I'm going back to my intro class here. So my teacher went on this rant about Postal one time, and there's a review of it, apparently, about Postal 2, one of the worst games ever made. It said, until they figure out how to put syphilis in a box, this is the worst thing that has ever been forced on consumers ever.
I've read that.
I don't remember what article that was from.
Yeah, I don't know who said that, but I do remember reading that in
now,
a review of it.
Let's think here. We're U-Ball, we're Uva Ball, and we read that, and we're like, man, I can make a great movie out of this.
Well, what happened with Postal anyway is I talked to Bill Kunkel every now and then, who works with the Postal guys from time to time, and he said that Vince Desi over at Postal deliberately, like, he knew how like Uwe Ball's films were, and he deliberately sought him out.
Wow,
for Postal.
That's awesome.
Oh, I just don't get it. I watched,
for those who don't know, we keep talking about Uwe Ball. He directed what all movies he's done?
Alone in the Dark, Blood Rain.
Yep. Blood Rain 2.
No, there's no Blood Rain 2 yet, is there? I know it's in the works.
Oh,
but...
you're right. Yeah, that's not out. But he's done... I know he's done other stuff. I can't remember now.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Wikipedia.
No.
Here comes Wikipedia.
So anyway, we watched Blood Rain, right? And we expected, you know, hot chick killing Nazis, zombies, or whatever that game is about. Okay. No, we get... first of all, there's the guy that played Gandhi up there as the villain. Gandhi, for Christ's sake. Okay. And then the movie just keeps going on and on and on. It's this period film, and it's, like, ridiculous. And by the end of it, I just wanted to kill myself. It was so bad. The soundtrack was the worst part. It was, like, this ambient, crazy something you'd see, like, in a... It's like if you took a Xena Warrior Princess episode, and you took that soundtrack, and you stretched it out for 2.5 hours, and that's the soundtrack you got in that movie.
The one we forgot was House of the Dead. He also did that one.
Is that the one where he spliced in actual game footage into the movie?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
He took as the movie seems to only vaguely related to the actual game, aside from brief clips of the original game edited between scenes of action shots throughout the film and subtle references at the end of the movie. So, yeah, he's a gamer and he's a director, and yet it doesn't work out for him.
Like, where does he get his money to do this stuff? Like, who says this is a good idea?
It's
like
this tax loophole or something in Germany or whatever the hell.
That's right. Like, he has a real shady, like, that's right. What is the deal with that? Justin Van Gogh.
I don't know. I
remember
know
hearing about that, though. Like he gets his money through some crazy scheme that he's cooked up so that he can make bad movies. Because nobody pays for him.
Dude, but seriously, that's the life. Like if I can just, like, jank this system, get all kinds of money, and I keep getting it as long as I keep making, you know, movies, I'm set.
Well, let's, like, talk about...
I would have so much fun with that, too. I would just, like, shoot, you know, God of War, and it's just Blake Buck taking a deuce in the bathroom for 2 hours.
I love it. Wait a minute. I'm going to make deuce noises, and then I'll splice in God of War soundtrack right here.
Blake Buck is Kratos.
So, don't get that confused with Blake Buck's love-making noises, which sound pretty similar.
Oh God! The forum's gonna get hold of this.
They're gonna go crazy. Go make a tribute video for you.
Let's talk about actually good game to movie conversions. Good game to movie conversions. Probably the best one ever. Chronicles of Riddick on the Xbox. Damn fine first person shooter.
Yep.
You mean movie to game conversion.
They essentially, the way I understand how the game worked, this game had been making this, like, next-gen title, and they were like, well, we got this game, but, I don't know, it's not really going to sell, because nobody knows what it is. And then, so they just went and bought the rights to, the Chronicles of Riddick movie.
Black.
And so they were able to just take their existing game and just rework it for Chronicles of Riddick, and they had an awesome game and tied into the movie, you know, good enough, and it was a crappy movie, but an awesome game.
Yeah.
And generally that's how it has to be. The crappier the movie is, the more awesome the game is, vice versa.
Alright,
wait a minute, Blood Rain, what am I talking about?
What's a game to movie conversion that would never happen, Blake Buck? What's, like, the most the game that's most not fit, or the movie that's most not fit to be a game, go?
I don't know. Maybe one of those crazy Japanese games like Feel the Magic or Rub Rabbits or
Cookin'
Mama.
The other way. What's a movie
that
absolutely cannot be a game?
Ooh, that's a good one. All right, let me think. Scarface. But I thought he died at the end of the movie. How would you make a... All right.
Oh, man.
A real answer.
Now, I got one. I say Requiem for a Dream would be a cool one.
I've never seen that.
Like, it would be like a WarioWare kind of thing, but instead of, like, you know, balanced stick, you know, cut meat, it's pop pills, snort coke, and you would do it all with a stylus. It would be awesome.
My vote is on Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman with Richard Gere.
That would be, yeah. That's
You would try and fool yourself into thinking that prostitution isn't sucking every 10 seconds.
My vote goes for Lost in Translation.
Also, a terrible... Or any of... Or who else? Like any of Wes Anderson movies. Not going to be good games.
Well, I don't know. The Life Aquatic had some action scenes in there. You could make a game out of that. Remember when he goes and shoots awesome all game. The terrorists on his boat or whatever? That was a pretty good scene.
William Miller, you know what would make a good game-to-movie conversion?
What's that, Blake Buck?
That would be Evil Skull. Hide that power.
You guys will know about Evil Skull soon enough. It's not anywhere on the internet right now, but it will be.
It will be.
Now, how about Phone Booth?
Phone Booth?
Phone Booth would never work as a video game. It's like, your tutorial would be like, press left stick to move. You die. Blam.
Oh, I love it. All right, so do we have anything more heat? Oh, one thing I did want to mention. Have you guys ever heard of Street Fighter, the movie, the game? They made a Street Fighter game based on the Street Fighter movie.
Yeah, it was
based
an arcade
on the Street
thing.
Fighter game.
It was an arcade thing. Like I remember seeing it in the arcade. It had it was one of those first games that had a cutscene, like a full motion video. FMV
and like
the
actors
the
were all like motion captured, not motion, but they were like actual photographed. The actors were.
Yeah.
And so you know you see them punching and stuff, and it's actors who were not the real actors from the film, but lookalikes. You know. Oh, my God. Capcom apparently had nothing to do with it, you know, at all. They licensed it to some, you know, Ubuntu company. And they put out trash. I love it. All right, so anything else
Ubuntu
on this topic?
Ubuntu can mean whatever we want it to mean.
It just means like backwater in my mind. Discussion equal over.
All right, let's move on to Stump.
Nope, feedback. You gotta do feedback.
Feedback.
All right, so this week he got an email from Mark G. He says, what happened to the chapter select in iTunes? How will I survive the podcast if I can't skip straight to Jank of the Week? Is this new iTunes or just Blake Buck being fat? iTunes 7, for those of you who use chapter markers, iTunes 7 has moved the chapters button from beside the search box up into, if you're on a Mac, up into the menu, the contextual menu at the top. It'll say chapters right along your top bar. I'm sure on the PC it's probably like I don't know. I don't use a PC.
Don't feel bad, Mark G, because it confused the hell out of me too the first time I got the new version. I couldn't find my... So, I just got done doing a new album art for the whole thing, and I was like, oh man, I can't wait to listen to this podcast, new album art. No dice. Couldn't find where it was. I was freaking out.
And then so he writes us back, and he says, to the hosts that think we're stupid, but we do know what HDMI is, I know every single listener will be sending you an email explaining HDMI, so I figured I'd explain it in the fewest words possible. Oh, this guy knows how to write us emails. All right. Thanks, Mark G. HDMI is... HDMI is digital HDMI is digital go TV. What does that mean? I think it means two.
No, this is in podcast speak. I'll do it. HDMI digital go TV. Everything else digital go analog go back digital go TV. Blam. That's HDMI.
Wow. The collaboration between Mark G and Justin Fick there. You guys are on the
amazing
ball. I missed it. He says, Stump Buck, Operation Neptune. You're on Neptune, you shoot monsters. And finally, he says, good luck. That's right. You can Wikipedia that. That is correct. And he says, good luck with the porn site. Somebody was trying to get me to explain our porn site idea to him.
No, we're hiding that
they're
power.
Like, they're like, Blake Buck, what's this porn site? No, I still might do it. No, me and Justin Fick will do it together.
It's just they're just waiting for me to lose my conscience, and then we'll do the porn site. Blake Buck and I did a lot of heating on that porn site. And it's,
if we're not big by episode 10, this is going to be best damn booby.jpg ever.
Booby.mpeg, Blake Buck.
Oh, man.
All right. Somebody else take a seat.
I don't have it printed out. You didn't send it to us.
I'll do it.
It's in the
Wiki. Kevin S.
Wait.
No.
What? What the f*** are you talking about? I didn't send it to you.
Where is it in the wiki?
You might not have clicked refresh since
I hate you so much, Blake Block.
Where's my email?
Feedback. There we go. See, I gave this to Simon to print, and it didn't print on my sheet, so.
Oh, okay. Well, Justin Pick, take this heat.
Doesn't work on Linux. I'm the callback master tonight. You don't f*** with the Justin Fick callbacks.
That was a little too. Too left field for our new listeners. A little too much.
All right, just pick, take a seat.
All right, Kevin S. writes, "You wanted it, so now you're getting it." Kevin says, "Blake Buck, Justin Fick, and Will Miller, you guys are simpletons. All I hear is blow shit up, shoot stuff. Don't want to use my brain. Dribble that comes out like verbal." Diarrhea.
We pronounce everything phonetically. If you're going to send us a big word, it's got to be spelled phonetically.
Yeah, don't call us simpletons and then spell everything you say phonetically. It doesn't work. First off, Blake Buck, what's happening with your bowl cut haircut? Second, Will Miller, you're pretty cool just for wearing of Queen t-shirt in BDPCE video.
I do not have a bowl haircut. Screw you, internet man. Kevin S. I do not. I don't know. I just got a haircut when I had that video. And then when I get like sweaty from all the heating I do, I heat a lot, so I have to sweat. Like, I don't know. My hair starts to get all like, it'll, you know how it like starts to form little triangles and shit? I hate that. It's like I get anime hair. I hate it.
Now, I noticed that there's nothing in here really directed at me, but then I noticed that, you know, the whole, you know, blow shit up, shoot stuff is pretty much all I say on the podcast.
It's
now,
true.
Now, but I say, you know, to each his own, because there's actually a comparison of video game tastes at Freeverse while working on Stingray, while we were on our, you know, Dev Xboxes leaving for the night. Steven Cento, one of the coders, showed me, I guess, Cloning Clyde is the name of this game. And he described it as a game where you actually have to use your brain, and it's not just mindless shooting of things. And I, you know, so I'm like, okay, I'll open my mind up and I'll play Cloning Clyde. And I play through it for about 3 minutes, and I realize this game is shit.
Yeah, Steve, this sucks. You've wasted my time, sir.
But I don't know, just like I say. The blow shit up, shoot stuff games are the smartest games out there, because I don't want to play some Swap 3 jewel game or, you know, jank platformer where I have to
exactly, man. Like,
jump on.
Like right now, we got to hurry up and finish this podcast because I got Mortal Kombat Armageddon waiting on me. Come on, get moving. All right, so Sippin' the Sweet says, "Hello, best damn podcast ever. I haven't been listening to your live show because I don't know when the bloody heck they are," says on the website, "you're an idiot. And because I don't revisit your website because it's not the IMG website. And I filled my quota of websites since I only visit. What?
Sippin' the Sweet is a very discriminating web surfer.
He is. So I listened to the podcast through, and let me tell you something, in all caps. It would be like, let me tell you something. I totally forgot what I was going to say in this mail. How about that? Happy Cinnamon Bun Day, though. / Sipon. Hey, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Dude, Sippin' the Sweet. I think I'm just going to come on the show. And the two of you have a sipping off.
Who can be sipping better? Blake or Sippin? This is a dumb contest. All right, so I guess I'll take this. You take the next one. I'll take the one after this.
All right, so David M. writes, "What do you think about game licenses? It seems to cause problems when licenses pass into the hands of corporate scum. For example, Total Annihilation, to my mind, the best RTS ever made. After Cave Dog shut down, Atari got the Total Annihilation license, and this meant the game would never be ported to OS X, and the game's creator could not make a sequel even though he had started a new company. Fortunately, the spiritual sequel, Supreme Commander, will be coming out soon. Hurrah. Discuss. P.S. When you do the live show, if you do battle..." What is battle? "Do what we have been saying for ages. Separate battle and general discussion."
No, you gotta remember, guys, we don't like you, okay? So we have to have the most hostile confrontation. But it doesn't even matter, because there is no battle. Right,
no, we don't know what battle is. We have no idea what battle
exactly.
is.
Exactly. All right, so William Miller, this one's for you, buddy.
All right, I'll take this one. This is for my old buddy Lucas.
I didn't know you could read it. Did you find an internet William Miller?
Well, I turned on my Safari. Yeah, I got it. All right,
Miller
so this
has
is
found an internet.
This is from Lucas O. Says Miller, suck my jack. With pleasure, old buddy. I'm in the animation program at DigiPen, and it's not the Westwood College graphics tweaking you make it out to be. We spend the whole first year working without computers, doing entirely Foundations art and animation skills. Sophomore year is when we get into vector and bitmap art, and somewhere along the way we pick up 3D. We're good because we focus on the art. Then we learn how to apply it to games, not the other way around. Don't make me take the time out of my crazy no-sleep schedule to whoop up on you, son. Lucas. P.S. strokes are for... I can't say that word. Alright. Alright, so last show I went on a rant about game colleges. And DigiPen, unfortunately, was on my hit list. But, you know, DigiPen... I've only had experience with the programming department DigiPen because I worked with a guy, Brakely, who's a hybrid of Blake Buck and Justin Fick at Harmonix, and seemed to be very competent, had a great experience at DigiPen. I'm sure, Lucas, that you're having a fantastic experience at DigiPen. I was just blowing off steam because there are a bunch of tools in the game development department. Fortunately, though, since I go to a real art school, I don't have to take all game development courses. I have a wide selection of various different traditional art classes that I can take at my pleasure. Essentially what I was arguing is that you don't want to go to Westwood College tweaking the graphics on level 3 with a PS2 controller. you want to go to an honest-to-God art school. Get that solid art background, which it sounds like, Lucas, you're doing, even though you seem to have some prejudice against some technique that I'm not quite sure about that I used when I made my Illustrator graphics. What do they have you taking over there, son? I don't know. I think though that if it came down to it, I could take you in life drawing. Yeah, think I could. Think I could take
dude,
you in life drawing.
This battle.
Yep.
All right,
dude. My only input on this is if you're getting the traditional art background at DigiPen, why not just do it at a regular school so if you, for some reason or other, don't get into the games industry, you actually have a future?
Yeah, see, the thing is, like, I've heard people go on and on about colleges like DigiPen. I'm sure they're great schools, but they're not nearly as respected as the traditional art, institutions like Savannah College of Art and Design, like the Art Institute,
I'm fancy, I'm William Miller.
Like all those other places. So, you might be getting the same thing, and they're gaining acceptance slowly in the industry, but, like Fick said, if I don't get into this game thing, I can always draw for a living. And I'm sure you can too, but, my credentials from this college will really back me up on that. So... Not to rag on all you DigiPen guys, but I'm sure you have a great
program.
He's
trying to get a fan base for us going up at DigiPen, so don't be bragging too hard.
No.
Sign up.
Blake Buck, you and me looked at like DigiPen and Ferrisale one time, and we thought about going. It's just, I wanted more of a traditional approach to art, and I'm sure you guys get that, but like I want to be able to take a fibers class if I want to. I want to be able to take a medium performing arts class if I want to, or a sequential art class, or a ceramics class, something like that.
And so, I wanted football.
Yeah, and Blake Buck wanted football, so he's at Ole Miss right now. Football College 2000.
Does DigiPen have a football team?
Let's hope not.
Gandor.
Anyway, all right.
So let's get the ball rolling. Matt L says, "Greetings, BDP crew. I was listening to episode 4 last night around 2 in the a.m. Who says 2 in the a.m.? And I must admit, you might want to apply a warning to your podcast. This podcast might cause listener to bust out in a gut laughing. That's not true. You're listening to the wrong show. My roommate was asleep, and when Blake Buck starts reading off the Mega Man games, especially the Mega Man Battle Network 6 description, Cyber Beast, I crack up in the process and wake up my roommate. Love the show. Keep it up. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks, man. All right, in our last email, who's taking this heat?
All right.
William Miller is taking this heat. No. William Miller is taking this heat.
All right. I haven't read this. So, okay. So Daniel says, so what's going on with the blog, God? All right. What's going on with the blogs? They've been coming soon for about 2 months now. So what's up? You should say something like never coming or be here in a year or something like that. Okay. Get it? Will, either get it up there or change what it's saying. Well, okay. So there's been a paucity of heat on our site for a while. And we're kicking it back up a notch, and you know, we're trying to focus all of our efforts into the main area there. And I just don't want to skin three more blogs, that's all. I'm working on other top secret BDP heat right now that I don't have time to work on anything else.
Look, all three of us are working on top secret BDP heat right now.
Yeah. Yep. And so we might need some help from you guys to do this at some point. So keep
That's right. We should put the call out now, guys. We are looking to get people volunteering to work for our website. To write content, reviews, you've seen the site, you see what we write there. We need writers, we need editorials, we need reviews, we need people to go out and promote our show. If there's any way you can help, send us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever. You know, if you help out the show, well, maybe you could come on the show, we don't know.
And you'll,
we need help.
You'll join such luminaries as Mark from Freeverse.
That's right, he's our first, our first writer.
That's it.
Mark or
so,
Mike?
Yeah. Or Mike. Mike.
I believe it's Mr. Mike Watson.
Mike Watson. Mike Watson sent me an email today saying that he had his heat ready for me, but didn't attach said heat, so I couldn't put it on the net.
If you got some skills, writing skills, shoot us off a sample to feedback@bestdamnpodcastever. If you got a website, promote our show, tell us about that. Just any way you can help the show grow, let us know.
It's pretty good there. You made it rhyme, Blake Buck.
I know. I'm a thespian. I actually am. I'm a member of the International Thespian Society. 7 years of musical theater. Thank you so much. All right, we're skipping Stump Book because we're an hour and 24 minutes in.
All right, sounds good.
All right, well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
It was a pretty good show, Blake Buck.
That's a good amount of heat.
I'm going to go have a beer now and eat some food. And try to forget about it.
if you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Or if you want to send us about writing reviews and stuff, just attach a sample. And maybe we can get you putting stuff on the site. I mean, billions of people read BDPE every day. No joke.
Oh, yeah.
Billions.
Oh, yeah.
Billions. So you would be the coolest person this side of the hemisphere. also, you can leave feedback at our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. That's 845-BATTLE-9. We'd also like to thank, or who do we need to thank?
Simon, Linux Tits, Marsnick, for printing out my my wiki page and leaving out the emails. Thanks, Simon, my roommate. DigiPen, for being such good sports.
That's right. DigiPen.
Your college is awesome.
Your college is awesome. Everybody at DigiPen. And even if you go to a college, hey, if you want to do a promotional campaign, how about print off 3,000 flyers for BDPE and tape them to the back of people's shirts? That's what you should do. So from all of us here at Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm the sexiest man in the world.
And I'm Justin Fick.
We'll see you next time.
I couldn't think of anything more more clever than that. Sorry.
I don't understand what's going on here.